as we think about knowing the name of the Lord, it's not just knowing a name. It's being in a personal relationship with the Lord that makes the difference in our life. It's not just knowing some facts about God or having a Bible. It's not about going to church. It's not about trying to follow the Ten Commandments. It's not about trying to make my good outweigh my bad. It is coming to a personal relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, recognizing that all of us have sinned and messed up. We don't deserve God's goodness. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve the opportunity to even think about going to a perfect heaven with a perfect God. But God provided the way through Christ. As Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and rose again, he gave a plan. It's called the plan of salvation. That if we would come to that place and call on the name of the Lord, recognizing that we've sinned, and we'd come and recognize that we need Jesus to forgive us of our sin and come into our life. As David shared earlier in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. And man, we praise the name of Jesus today. But we're going to be dealing in the Old Testament as we think about how great is our God. And as we take the next few weeks and look at the names of God. My life has kind of been a crisis of names. My name is Gene. I am Gene Jr. But all my life I've been called Buddy. So that one of my earliest childhood memories, I'm in the cart at the grocery store. I'm riding in the cart, so I'm little. I don't know how old I am. And an older gentleman came up and said, "Hey, Buddy." And I looked at my parents and I said, "How did he know my name?" That always has been a challenge. So Julie, when we first began to date, and actually on our first date, I've shared this before, but she said, "What's your name?" Because Buddy's not really a name. That's like calling somebody pal. I said, "Well, my real name is Gene." She said, "Well, I don't really like the name Gene that much." She said, "What's your middle name?" I said, "Well, my middle name is Fred." And then her answer was, "No wonder they call you Buddy." So I move off to seminary, and I think, you know, I'm going to get my master's degree, and I have visions of attaining my doctorate as well. And, you know, Dr. Buddy sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Like, doctor and buddy don't go together. It's like Dr. Bubba, you know? I mean, it just doesn't seem to fit. So I thought, man, I'm going to have Gene be my name from now on. So I went to seminary in about 2 weeks, and I had the professors calling me Gene, and I'd introducing myself as Gene. And it just drove me completely crazy because for 23, 24 years, I've been Buddy, always been Buddy. And now trying to change my name, it never really worked. So after about 2 weeks, I went back and told everybody, "Well, my name's really Buddy, so call me Buddy." So anyway, so I had to go through this transition. But the funniest thing recently was last Sunday, I was walking out of a Sunday school class. I'd just been in there visiting. And while I'm walking out, someone else is walking in, and Dave Hawkins says, "Hey, Buddy," to the guy, like in, "Hey, pal, friend." And so, man, I turn around, like, and I realize he's talking to somebody else. So Tuesday, I'm with another adult and Micah, and he calls Micah Buddy. And Micah said, "Man, you have to call me by my name. That's way too confusing with my dad here." So anyway, so it's a weekly occurrence that, and I call people Buddy. But when your name's Buddy, it is a crisis. I have a Far Side in my Far Side cartoon in my office. I posted it on Facebook a few weeks ago, and it is called "Why People Named Buddy Hate to Drive." And it has everybody yelling, "Hey, Buddy! Hey, Buddy! Hey, Buddy!" So anyway, so my life has been kind of a crisis of names. But there's something important about your name. Because when people say your name and they know you, or when they hear your name, they think about who you are. That brings a sense of feeling. It can bring a sense of warmth and delight. And yeah, I know him or I know her. What a sweet person. Or it can bring a sense of grief or maybe even a thought of disdain. Our names are powerful. But what about God's name? What do we think about and how do we feel when we think, hear, speak the name of God? We're going to look at that over the next few weeks, and we're going to look at some of the Old Testament names of God. But take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And we're going to look at verse number 10 today. And this is kind of an introduction of where we are going for the next few weeks. Kind of a little different message today, but this is just kind of an intro into the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 10. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And with that, let's pray. God, speak to us today about how wonderful and powerful your name is. May we unpack and see fresh the beauty of your names. And God, speak to us. Lord, there are people here that are hurting, that need to know, Jehovah, that you care and that you love, and that you're there and that you'll take care of them and you'll provide. So I pray today that you'd speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our family had the opportunity on a couple of occasions to meet Truett Cathy, who was the founder of Chick-fil-A. And Truett Cathy, his favorite verse is Proverbs 22:1. And there it talks about a great name or a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. If you're in Proverbs 18, just look over just a couple chapters. Matter of fact, in this book that he gave us, it has his signature on it, and underneath it says Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. What do you think of when you think of someone's name? When you hear names of historical characters in our nation, like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, you think of their strength and leadership and character, and you think of the resolve that they had. There's this character issue that when you hear a name like Benedict Arnold or Judas Iscariot, that goes the other direction. When you think of someone's name, you can often think of their power or their influence or their creativity or their monetary wealth. You hear a name like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. Interesting enough, when I was growing up, there was a commercial about a financial brokerage, and it said this: when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Which is very interesting, because E.F. Hutton ultimately in the mid-80s got caught up, their business got caught up in some major scandals. One of the scandals was that one of the offices was even funneling money to a crime family, all right, up in the Northeast. E.F. Hutton. We don't hear that name anymore, do we? There was a character issue, and they ended up selling out, and then they took Hutton off the name altogether because of the name. When we think of names, we think of relationship. As a child, when you went to school, like it or not, you were representing your family because of your name. With three older sisters, by the time I got into my elementary school, my junior high, my high school, all my teachers already knew who we were Matter of fact, my sisters babysat for some of my middle school and high school, our middle school teachers. And so they all knew the Perstrope name. And with seven kids, I mean, we were hard not to be noticed most of the time anyway when we'd show up at a school activity. But a name pictures a relationship. When a woman gets married, she takes the name of her husband. And then they have children, and those children represent their family's name. With a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 9-year-old, I was pulling my hair out trying to finish my doctorate. And I called my mom one day and told her, I'm quitting. I've done all the classes. I've got the learning I've needed and all that. And her answer to me on the phone was, you are a Perstrope. You do not quit. It's the power of your name. There's power in your name. Then we think about the name of God and the names of God that we'll look at. And we think of the character behind his name. And we think of the power behind his name. And we think of the many mighty acts that we have seen throughout the Bible. And not only just in the Bible, but throughout our own life. As someone was sharing with me this morning how God just moved in their family during a crisis in their life. And it just had to be God. And they knew it. There's this understanding that when we call on the name of God, and we understand his name, there is this sense in which we can run to it like a strong tower. I don't know how it was at your house, but with 6 of us kids in 9 years, we didn't always get along. Sometimes there was some picking and teasing and pushing and sometimes a little punching. And if you were a boy and your sisters had long hair, a little hair pulling and all those kinds of things. But the one place that if you hit somebody, you could run to, and about the only place you could be alone at our house was the bathroom. Because that was the only door with a lock on it. Our bedroom doors didn't have locks on them. So when you were hiding out from somebody, you went into the bathroom and locked the door. Here, the picture in the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 18 is that when you run to the Lord and you recognize his name, it's like running to a strong tower. And you can close that door and you can move up in this tower and have a safe and secure place to land. And some of you are in the midst of a storm today and there's a major crisis swirling around you. Maybe it's a physical crisis, maybe it's a work crisis, maybe it's a financial crisis, maybe there's a relational crisis. And the picture today is that when you understand the names of the Lord, that you can run to him like a tower and close that door behind you and find a place of security and find a place of refuge. Find a place where there's peace. Even amid everything swirling around us. As we look at the Old Testament and the names of God, in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, the name of God that is used in the beginning, God, is the name Elohim. It is a plural of the word El, which means God in the Hebrew. Elohim is pictured as a plural name. Many believe that it's a Trinitarian picture of God being plural in persons. It's for sure a picture of the majesty and the fullness and the power of God in Genesis 1 as Elohim created the heaven and earth. And it's used throughout Genesis 1 as we see the power of God in creation as Elohim. We see that word El as it is used. As we look at words of El Elyon, the God Most High, or a song that was popular years ago, El Shaddai, that God is Almighty God. We see that El word can be teamed with another word. We also find in the Old Testament the word Lord. It is pictured as capital L and then smaller case O-R-D in your Bible. It is the name Adonai, which gives a picture of God being the master or owner or source. He is the Adonai. He is the one who owns and is the master over all. But the word that we find most used for God in the Old Testament, used over 6,000 times, is the word Yahweh or the word Jehovah, as we have kind of put some English. It doesn't have any vowels in it. It would be pictured as as we would try to transliterate, it would be YHWH, Yahweh. We would look at it sometimes and we would look at it as the name Jehovah. So that for us, we understand these names of God. And there's some great significance of this name, because the word Jehovah goes back most likely to Exodus chapter 3. Where Moses has an encounter with God at the burning bush. And the bush is burning, and God speaks to Moses and he says that I am who I am. There's this picture of God being there. But the word and thought behind Yahweh or Jehovah is God's redemptive name. That he was the redeemer who delivered his people out of problems, and specifically delivering them out of Egypt, as he calls Moses, and he's going to call them to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. It is a redemptive name that pictures the power of God to save, the power of God to redeem, the power of God to deliver. It's not only a redemptive name, but it's also a personal name. That gives a picture of a family name. It shows God's personal revelation and his personal relation to us as his people. And then it's a covenant name. As a part of a covenant name, it gives the picture that God enters into a covenant with us so that he always keeps his promises. So that as Paul would write to Timothy and say that even when we are faithless, he is faithful. That's the picture of Jehovah in the Old Testament. That God keeps his promises. That God will have his hand on his people. That God will secure his people like a strong tower. That's the picture of Jehovah in the Old Testament. And often what we find is that there are teams that are teamed with that Jehovah name. And as they're teamed with that Jehovah name, those are the names we're going to look at over the next few weeks. But why is it important to know the names of the Lord? Why is it that big of a deal? This morning I'm going to share with you three thoughts on that. First off, knowing the name of the Lord enriches my spiritual life. Knowing the names of the Lord enriches my spiritual life. When I understand who God is, it makes me rich and makes me feel spiritually full. It allows me to recognize and see who God is and understand the character and the power and the authority and the sovereignty and the control and the comfort and the love and the security that comes from knowing God personally. So knowing enriches my spiritual life. So we begin to think about that Jehovah name, that covenant, personal, redemptive name of God as it is given. And then it is teamed with other names. So that God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. We find in Genesis chapter 22 where Abraham is called to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and the Lord allows Abraham to go through this process, and we're going to talk about this next week, how he provides for us, and allows Abraham to get all the way with the knife uplifted, and the angel of the Lord stops him. And as the angel of the Lord stops him, there is a ram that is caught in the thicket. And the Lord delivers the right animal in the right way at the right time. Don't you think it would have been easier just to say, Lord, why can't we just get this ram on the way up on our walk? But the Lord makes him go through the whole process, but shows that the Lord is the provider. As Abraham gave this name to the Lord, that God is really the one who provides for me, we find this new set of, this new picture of strength and confidence in Abraham's life as he moves forward with the Lord, that God is going to provide. The children of Israel are years later, delivered out of Egypt. Moses leads them. And they're out of Egypt about 3 days, and they have run out of water. And as they have run out of water, the people begin to complain against Moses and say, "Why did you lead us out here?" And they come to a place called Marah in Exodus chapter 15. And there at Marah, they see the water, and they come out and they think, "Man, finally, after 3 days, we're going to get relief." And they taste the water, and it's bitter. God instructs Moses to take a tree and to cast it into the water, and then he heals that water and makes it whole. And his name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. The Lord can heal bad water, and the Lord can take care of bad problems in our life, the physical issues, the challenges that we face. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. It's not too much longer as the children of Israel are journeying that they come up against the Amalekites. And remember, the children of Israel have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And as they've been slaves for 400 years, these are not trained assassins. But in Exodus chapter 17, as they come against their enemy, and Moses goes up on the hill, and Aaron and Hur hold his arms up as he holds his staff in the air, and Joshua's down in the valley of Rephidim, and he's fighting and ultimately defeating the enemy. The Lord's name is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He's the one that we fly our flag under. He's the one that is in control of the battles of our life. He's the one who gives us courage to move forward during the storms and during the wars of our life. His name is Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner. We're going to look at that name in a few weeks. Judges chapter 6, we find Gideon is afraid. He's afraid because the Gibeonites are all around them, and he's trying to thresh wheat on inside a small little building, and he's hiding out, and an angel of the Lord comes to him. His name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. You have fearful moments in your life? Gideon was having them. We've all had them. Fearful moments about a relationship, or fearful moments about our finances, or fearful moments about our education, or specifically fearful moments about our health. And the Lord shows up and he says, the key to peace is not circumstances on the outside, but it's my presence with you and knowing that on the inside. Jehovah Shalom. In Psalm 23, we won't look at this because we preached through Psalm 23 a couple of years ago. His name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. He's the one who provides for us and guides for us. If there's any familiar passage in the Old Testament that most believers are very confident and know well, it's Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. And Jeremiah 23, the Lord is called Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Isn't it interesting that the Lord requires of us something that we on our own can't give to him? I mean, even in our best day, we have so many acts of wrongful thinking, wrongful speaking, wrong attitudes. But the Lord says, I am the Lord that's going to provide the righteousness that I require. If you think that you can get to heaven by your good outweighing your bad, let me tell you, it's never, ever going to work. Never, ever. But the Lord provides the righteousness that you need to go to heaven. That's why his name is Jehovah Tsidkenu in the Old Testament. We see Jesus providing that righteousness for us in the New Testament, where it says that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then at the end of Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse number 35, his name is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Ezekiel was written during the time of the exile. The children of Israel, we looked at this and talked about this just a few weeks ago, from about 605, 607 to 586 B.C., the Babylonians had carried off many of the Jewish young men, men like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it is during this exile time that Ezekiel writes and gives them hope for the future because the Lord is there. His presence is real. And we can experience that in our life. Hey, if you would recognize and memorize, write down, put on your mirror, put on the dash of your car, the names of the Lord, just these Jehovah names that we've talked about. As you're going through the crises of life, as you're facing the storms and the winds are blowing, if you would recognize simply who God is, then you're going to find that His name is like a strong tower, and you can find confidence even amid difficulty and challenges in your life. It'll enrich your life on the inside. Can I tell you that most of these names of God that are given in the Old Testament were given during crises, when the people really needed to experience God? The names of God did not come out of days when you're sitting there, you know, on the beach camped out. The names of God came during crisis and hardship and challenge and difficulty and sorrow. So I would tell you this, don't waste your crises. Look for God to show up and how He's going to show Himself to you. Know the names of the Lord. It will enrich your spiritual life. Secondly, I think that we need to know the names of the Lord because it will not only enrich our spiritual life, but it'll energize our faith. It'll energize our faith. When I recognize who God is and the power that goes before me and is behind me and above me and carries me and is in me, then I can move forward with energy in the crisis. I can move forward with strength and confidence that God already knows in Deuteronomy 31:8 that He is the Lord, in verse number 6 and 8, that He is the Lord who goes before me. He's going before you to show Himself strong in your life. Knowing the Lord's names energizes my faith. As I meditate on these, as I think on these, as I go through the crises with these names, man, it is going to do something in my life. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And I need to take the Word of God and the names of God in the Word of God and apply them directly in my heart. Energizes my faith. First, it will energize my worship. I mean, knowing the Lord's names energizes my worship. Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. And Psalm 29:2, give glory that is due His name. Psalm 34:3, O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Did you notice the songs that we sang this morning? We sang about His name. Because His name reminds us of who He is as we worship. The name of Jesus, as we sing in the New Testament. It is the powerful name of Jesus. Last week we sang, what a beautiful name it is. And what a wonderful name it is. And what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. It is the names of the Lord that energize our worship because we recognize who He is. Listen, when we come to worship, if all of our mind is, man, what is on my planner, what's going on for lunch, and I miss all of that, then I can miss Him completely. And as I miss Him in my life, then I've missed the purpose of worship. I've missed connecting with the Almighty. There's this essence that it is going to energize my worship. But secondly, it's going to energize my walk. It's going to energize my walk. That I know, Lord, You're my shepherd, and God, I don't like walking through this valley of the shadow of death right now. But I know You're with me. And Lord, Your rod and Your staff, they really do comfort me. Lord, I don't like going through this crisis right now, but God, I know that You are Jehovah Jireh and You will provide. How many of you have gone through a crisis in your life, and Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, showed up. Man, I could give you testimony of how God showed up in neat and amazing ways and showed himself as provider. But the Lord didn't provide unless there was a need. It's often during that time of need, when intense need, when you're seeking his face, that he provides. And you know what that does? That makes you want to march, man. That makes you want to walk with a sense of confidence and say, God, I can move through this, not because of my strength, not because of my smarts, but because of who you are. It's because of your great hand, your great power, your great security, your great provision. It energizes my walk. Does your spiritual life have any energy? What happened to it? Maybe if your spiritual life doesn't have the energy that you need it to have, maybe you just need to pray about, listen, what if the Lord would use you this week as the one who would provide for somebody else? What if the Lord would use you this week as someone who would come alongside like a shepherd and listen and talk with someone? Or maybe you need to get into God's word. Maybe the phone needs to be put down. TV needs to be turned off. Headphones need to be taken off. Computer needs to be turned off. And you just need to get alone with the Lord. Energy in your spiritual life is not just a natural occurrence. It takes time and effort to recharge. Your cell phone battery has to recharge. Your laptop has to recharge. Your spiritual life has to recharge. Tapping into the names of God just might be that spiritual recharge that you need. Maybe you need to memorize these verses that we're going to look at over the next few weeks as we think about who God is. Maybe you need to take some time and meditate on that, so that your name, so that his name can bring spiritual energy fresh and new into your life. Third thing, knowing the names of the Lord enriches my spiritual life, and knowing the names of the Lord energizes my faith. But the third thing that we find is that knowing the names of the Lord encourages my faithfulness. So that we come to this point where I think, wow, I have been able to sit and soak and think about how good God is, and look back and see how he showed himself as Jehovah Jireh in my life, the God who provides, or Jehovah Rapha, the God who brought healing in my life, or the Lord is my shepherd who directed my life, or the Lord our righteousness who saved me from sin, or the Lord who's always been present in my life. And I look back and I think, man, I may not have a lot, but I'm rich spiritually. And because of that, I can walk in worship with a sense of energy. But listen, ultimately, when I recognize his faithfulness, it's going to encourage mine. When I look at how good he is and how great and gracious he is, it's going to encourage my walk to be faithful to him. It's going to challenge me to say, is God really your priority? Look at all I've done for you. Look how I've shown myself to you. Look how I've provided for you. Look how my hand has been on you. And yet it looks like you spiritually don't give a care at all. I've done this so that you'll walk with me. That you'll draw near to me so that I can ultimately draw near to you. Now, as we think about faithfulness, I want us to think about a verse that sometimes we use when we want to talk about national revival. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. Okay? We all heard that verse before somewhere down the line. Okay, now listen. The Lord says at the beginning of that verse, sometimes we overlook it. We think about all the things that we need to be doing, how we need to be turning from sin and turning to the Lord. But listen what it says. If my people who are called by my name. Parents, just as you didn't want your kids to mess up at school because of your name, God has said, my people are called by my name. And as those who are called by his name, we should be taking on his character and fleshing that out in faithfulness to the Lord as we live. That's the challenge that stands before us. God has given us his name. You know why he's given us his name? Because he wants to reveal himself and show himself to us in a personal way so that we can come and know him personally. We'll never know everything about God, but you could know a lot about God. Matter of fact, most of us know about as much about God as we really want to. If we wanted to know more, we'd dig deeper. We'd spend more time. But I wonder, if you looked at your life and thought, I'm one of his people, called by his name. Am I walking in the confidence of that name, spiritually full? Am I energized by his name? And am I living it out faithfully, showing others that my life is different because I have a relationship with the Lord? I'm one of his people, called by his name. That means my focus, my heart, my life is different.